Hey, come on, church. Let's turn to Ephesians 5, Proverbs 18. We'll hit Proverbs 18 first, then Ephesians 5. Come on, let's get into this. And again, man, when you come to a place to look at what this marriage series is, man, if you are married, you need this. If you are single, you really need this. Come on, you got to get it straight. Because the greatest decision in your life is Jesus Christ. Man, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm separate from God. And I know the only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ, dead on a cross for me in my place. And I've come to a place to repent, to believe, and surrender. That is your eternal forever decision. That is the most priority decision that you will ever make in your entire life. Good, got it. The next major, most important decision that you will ever make in your life is who you choose to marry. Who you choose to say, I am ready to give you the rest of my life. Going into marriage like divorce isn't an option. Going into marriage till death do us part. You come to this place that and listen, if you have gone through the hurt and the brokenness and pain of divorce, man, my heart breaks at that, and I'm sorry for that. And maybe you're in a new marriage, and it's just like, this is how it was meant to be. Then amen. But it's never meant to go sideways the first time, and I think we all can agree with that. You didn't go to that altar the very first time going, this isn't going to go so well. Like, nobody does that. If people do that, I don't know where their counsel is to say you just shouldn't go forward. But we come to a place to realize, when you come and you look at Genesis 1, when you come to that place to understand the next greatest decision of my life is who I'm going to marry. Because on that day that I say I do, it changes. Watch this now. It changes every day of my life after that. So if you're single in this place, come on, man, don't miss an inch. Go back and review and watch these services again and again. Because the greatest, if you already know Christ, awesome. The next greatest decision of your life that will change every day of your life is who you marry. I mean, when you come to a place to enter into that in wisdom, and you enter into that prepared, and you enter into that ready, then man, you can have this amazing sense of what marriage is supposed to look like. And man, when you look in Genesis 1 and you look in Genesis 2 and you go back to the beginning, we've got to understand that marriage is good. But how many times do you hear people say, I'm not getting married? Marriage is stupid, man. Like, I'm not going to attach myself ball and chain, man. Man, I know somebody who got married and marriage just didn't work for them. We've got to come back to the simplicity that marriage is created good and it's people who make it bad. Because our perspective needs to be changed that marriage is good. Matter of fact, marriage is beautiful and wonderful, and marriage is something that God created. Marriage in itself, the institute of marriage, is incredible. It's people who make it bad, not marriage itself. I hate marriage. No, you guys screwed it up so bad that you think marriage was the problem, but marriage is never the problem. People are always the problem, and it's not marriage that's the problem. So what happens if the people get in line to what the Creator thought for marriage? All of a sudden, marriage is good, and people begin to act like marriage is good and do marriage right. Then all of a sudden, wow, it's so amazing that all of a sudden, now marriage and people do it right becomes really good. But the institute of marriage has never changed. Because you see, in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, where God spoke and he created just by speaking, the power of a vocal word, he spoke things into existence. In the beginning, God spoke and God said, and then God said, and then God said, and then God said. And all of creation in 6 days, God created by his vocal word. God said, it became. God said, it became. God said, it became. And then God stops on day 6, and he's already created the beast with the 4 legs. And then he creates this pile of dust that looks like a body that we now know is the shape of a body. And he breathes into the nostrils, and all of a sudden there's Adam. And then puts Adam to sleep, and then out of his rib there becomes woman, who is Eve. And you've got Adam and Eve, and they're walking in the garden, they're having these moments, and they begin to see that God has created Adam and Eve. And you see right in Genesis 2, when Adam was alone, and the Lord said, listen, this isn't good for man to be alone. He needs a helpmate or a helper. Watch this now. When God said marriage, this is the first clue on marriage. When God said marriage, man shouldn't be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmate that's suitable for him. Man, don't miss this, church, because what God made suitable for a man in marriage is a female. It wasn't another type of animal. It wasn't a tree. It wasn't another man. It was a female. And I look at the very first picture of marriage. God said, listen, the picture that works and the picture that's right and the picture that's good of the institute of marriage is a man and a woman whom God has created. And in that picture, listen, I'm not getting political on you. I'm just telling you that this is the way God created it. Anything outside of that isn't right. And you come back to a place to look at the institute of marriage is good. It's people who screw it up. And we're in this place today to say, listen, what is the art of communication? What does this look like when I know that I'm in this marriage or I know that I'm going to be married? You come to this place to look at this and say, okay, one of the biggest things, one of the most, and I love starting this marriage series this time today with one of the biggest pieces that takes marriage is the things that we say, the spoken word that we speak to one another. Listen, watch this now. You got to understand this. God spoke and created the world. God spoke and created marriage. When you speak, you can blame, watch this now, you can blame the condition of your marriage on the words that we speak. If God created marriage by a spoken word, you can create a great atmosphere or a broken atmosphere by the words that we speak. Now watch this. This is huge. This is huge. You walk out of this place today, and you got to get this, because we can leave this place today, and our marriage that's a 2, it can go to a 5 instantly. Because the condition of our marriage has to do with the words that we speak. And if we change the words that we speak, it instantaneously will arrange the atmosphere of our marriage. Now listen, we'll get into the brokenness and the depth and the hurt and the forgiveness and unforgiveness in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk about that, but that doesn't change the hurt and the pain from unforgiveness. That doesn't change the hurt and the pain of abuse that I've had. It doesn't hurt. All I'm saying is it is the start that is instantaneously that then leads into what it means to be walking in true, authentic forgiveness and what it means to release sins of the past and what it means to truly be free. But today, when you understand the power of a spoken word, when you begin to understand the art of communication, you begin to see what a wife needs, and you begin to see what a man needs, and you begin to come to a place to understand that, listen, I can change. I can go from a 2 to a 5. I can go from a 5 to a 7. Just by simply coming to a place to know what it means to communicate. Now, let's look at this. Proverbs 18, and we'll get into this a little bit. Proverbs 18, these are, and I'm asking you, please, write these down. Put them on your fridge. Put them on your mirror. Put them on your steering wheel. Put them where you can see them. What happens if we had these actually memorized and put them into action? Look at this. This is God's word, and it is alive and powerful. Proverbs, as you know my love for Proverbs, it is God's advice for you and I. It's wisdom. So come on, what if we took that advice and applied it into our homes and our marriage? Verse 20, Proverbs 18 says this, and with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. The fruit of a man's mouth. It's speaking about the words that we speak are like fruit. Now, you got to understand this. Every word, now get this. Every word you speak is a seed. And seeds are going to bear fruit. If you're speaking negative, you're going to get negative fruit. If you're speaking positive, I'm talking about in this relationship, right? You want to go speak a Lexus into existence and you're making $20 a day. Good luck with that. It's called common sense. But here we go. Here we go. You come to a place to say, man, when I understand the words that I'm speaking are seeds, and those seeds are going to bear fruit, what type of seeds am I speaking? Watch this. Here it is. With the fruit of a man's mouth, the stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. He will be satisfied with the product of his labor. What is, can I ask you a serious question? Now we're talking just, I'm simply keeping it in marriage context, right? What is the product of your lips? What is the condition of your marriage? Right now, as we sit in these seats, what is the condition of our marriage? Man, it is a mess. Man, it's okay. Man, it could be better. Man, it just hasn't been anything that I thought it was going to be. Man, it's just been a rough road. We haven't dialed into each other yet. This has been, or man, it's been good. Like Renee and I have been married 25 years, and I can say that we're an 8 out of a 10. I would say that we're a 10, but that means I have to be perfect, and I'm not there yet. She's perfect. That brings us down to an 8 because of myself. You get this, right? So you come to a place to realize, and I mean that, like we're like at an 8, and we're in an amazing place. Not perfect. We're in a great place because we know what it means to speak. And we know what it means that the product of the condition of our marriage is a, watch this, man, you got to get it, is a direct result of the words that we speak to each other. Because the next verse, this is a powerhouse verse in our life. For death and life and the power of the tongue. For death and life and the power of the tongue. And those who love its fruit, there it is, those who love its fruit, right? Watch this. For those who love it will eat its fruit. When you talk about seeds, when you talk about growing, for death and life. Listen, we just read that your the condition and the product of where you're at is a product of the words that we speak. So we look at our marriage and we say, okay, well, what does this really look like and what it means to speak into the life of my wife, to speak into the life of my husband? Like what is the art of communication for my wife and what is the art of communication for my husband? Are we speaking life? Have we been planting seeds of life or have we been planting seeds of doubt? Have we been planting seeds of death? Do we walk in a place to be negative? Do we walk in a place to be critical? Do we walk in a place to be harsh? Do we walk in a place to be short? Because that's a direct result of our tongue. And listen, there's so much to this. There's body language. There's tone. There's the atmosphere in which we speak. It's really thought out and what we're going to say when we know that we've got to work some things out. How is it that we communicate? This is so huge. So huge. Because we can go in and we think that we're making progress, but we've got this awful tone to us. We've got this edge to us. We've got this critical spirit to us. We've got this Debbie Downer spirit that just brings things down. Even when things are going good, it never looks that good. Like that, we're just sowing seeds. What happens when you become so critical that nothing's ever good enough? And don't. Shake your heads, don't move. I want to ask you a serious question. Have you ever been in the place where you've bought into the truth that it's just never good enough because there's this critical spirit, because everything I do that I try to do right, it just gets slammed down, that it just wasn't right. It wasn't, I see you tried, but it wasn't good enough. But what happens when we come to a place to see what God had for marriage and we come to a place to see, man, I'm going to speak life, and I'm going to encourage, and I'm going to build. And we come to a place to begin to understand, what does my wife need? What is it that my husband needs? Like, what is that art of communication? Now, if we turn to Ephesians 5, it's probably one of the top chapters of all time in regards to marriage between a husband and a wife. And we're not going to cover the whole thing. We will eventually in the next 3 or 4 weeks, but I'm going to start with verse 28. It says this. So husbands ought to also to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh. Watch this now, husbands to the wife, but nourished it and cherished it just as Christ also does the church. Listen, it's the husband's responsibility to nourish and cherish. Nourish means, man, it's my responsibility to bring Renee to a mature level. If I'm not mature myself, I can't raise her to a mature level. Husbands, you got to get this. And in Ephesians 5, it says husbands are the head of the wife, and the husbands ought to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. And there's this amazing picture of Christ and the church compared to husbands and wives. And you look at this and we see this where husbands are called to nourish their wives, bring them to a place of maturity and cherish. And the word cherish is this amazing, amazing word. It means to tenderly care for. That wives are fragile and the words that we speak, we're sticking with the words we speak. The words that we speak, do we speak to them like they're fragile? Do we speak to them tenderly and with great care? Do we come to a place and go, man, I want to build you up to a place of maturity, and it's talking spiritually, and I want, man, I'm going to do that by, I'm going to speak life to you, and I'm going to plant seeds knowing that you are fragile, knowing that, man, you are tender, knowing that if I say something, I might shatter your insides. What happens if we just looked at this today and said, okay, what's my tone like, and what's my body language like, and what am I rolling my eyes, and just, you come to this place, and now watch this, here it is. Verse 31, for this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Watch this. The mystery is great, for I'm referencing Christ in the church. And when Renee and I got, we're 25 years in, man, it's this amazing relationship. And I'm telling you, man, when you begin to learn and you begin to grow, like you begin to see marriage 25 years in, it's getting better and better and better. And you come to this place to, we knew from the beginning. We knew from our engagement, listen, we want our marriage because we bought into the truth of Ephesians 5 that the mystery is great. You read Ephesians 5, like Christ in the church, like Christ in the church, like Christ in the church. And we understand the role of the husband is to love his wife just like Christ does the church. And the role of the wife is to respect and honor her husband just like she does to Christ. And there's this amazing picture to a very broken world of what a relationship they can have with Christ in the church. And you know the way God set it up? Between a husband and a wife. Out of every picture that he could have created, to show the picture of his love for the church, was how a husband ought to love his wife. Man, that's a tall order. But Renee and I, in the beginning, even before we were married, we set the table for this and said, listen, we believe that this passage is true and we believe that our marriage is bigger than us. Our marriage is more important than us. Because we want this broken world. We want those who are lost and hurting. We are desperately, church, we are desperately after the lost. And if we set up a church for the lost and we set up a church to be building strong marriage, because we understood something in the beginning that our marriage, man, this relationship that we have, we want the world to look at a marriage to say, you mean I could have that with Jesus? The mystery is great. God in all of his power and might and all of his wisdom said, I'm going to set something up that's going to be so amazing, that's going to be so good, that's going to be so right, that, son, it's going to be a picture. It's going to be a picture of what you have with the church. And I'm going to use a husband and a wife to exemplify that picture. What? And you look at this, you look at verse 33, it says this, nevertheless, each individual among you must also love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So what does that look like in communication? I mean, you could be a wife in this place, or you could be a single female, and you're just like, man, what is it? How is it that my man talks to me? Because one of the greatest needs of a woman is security. She needs to know, man, my man is going to provide for me. My man is going to protect me. My man is going to lead me. My man is going to take the hit for me. My man's going to grow in his maturity in the Word so he can grow in me. I am going to have confidence that my man has this. And that comes, that security comes, not because you have three cars in the driveway, not because you live on a hill. No. That it's not about how much is in the bank account. Because there's a lot of people with a lot of money who just can't stand each other. A lot of people with a lot of money who just divorce is their first option. That's not the answer here. It's the security within the soul of a woman to say, I am his priority. I am his MVP. And man, when you understand what your wife really needs, you begin to speak into that security. Your communication, the power of your words begins to speak to her security. Honey, it's going to be okay. Honey, we're going to take care of this. Honey, get behind me on this because I've got this. Honey, and you just begin to speak. Man, honey, you are beautiful. Man, you are more beautiful today than you were 25 years ago. Honey, how you take care of me as a husband? Honey, I see you with our kids. Oh, you're the most amazing mom on the planet. And what happens, man, when you begin to speak life into your wife, that she would come to this place to be so confident and secure within herself. Because you spoke life to her. Because listen, so many times we jump into marriage and we have no idea what my wife needs. We have no idea what her husband's need. And the number one need for a wife is that love relationship where that husband is speaking into who she is. Man, you're the most amazing. You are so beautiful. And we could get into Song of Solomon, and we will. We're going to get into the bedroom a little bit. Not today, but in the next couple weeks. Where the man just looks at her and says, mm-hmm. Man, girl, I like your teeth. When's the last time you said, wife, you got the most beautiful teeth? Well, that does something to a woman. But what happens? Man, what happens when you know what it means to tap into the emotions of your wife? And it's just, and they love conversation. And I'm learning this. 25 years in, I'm still learning. Honey, how was your day? It was good. Okay, honey, how was your day? I told you it was good. Well, who'd you see today? I saw Brendan. Hung out with Matt a little bit. Well, good. How's Brendan and Matt doing? Good? Maybe this is just our house, but it's just, you know. Now, honey, I give me some details. I love it. Honey, I need details. Because she cares about my day. She wants to know. Honey, what's going on in your heart? Where you at? And then, men, if you could learn to just say, well, honey, I woke up at 5:31. And I thought about you the first thought of my day. And then I had a bowl of Captain Crunch, and it was the greatest bowl of Captain Crunch. The milk was cold. 2% is my favorite, honey. I love it. It did something to my insides, man. It was just, oh. And then my time with the Lord, honey, I prayed for you, and this is what I prayed for you, and it was just amazing, and just prayed for the kids, and this is the people who are on my heart today that I prayed for. And then, you know, at 7:37, I went off to work today in the car, and I played this song, and it even kind of made me cry a little bit. There's just like, oh, when you start saying I cried, that's score right there. That's points. Like, my man got emotion. Like, there's feeling in this man. But when you begin to really know the art of communication for a husband to his wife, you know that there's details and there's depth to your wife, and she wants to know your day, not out of jealousy, not out of concern and care, because she loves you. She loves details, and she wants that security. And you just begin to speak into who she is and how amazing she is, the most amazing woman on the planet. There's no woman who compares to you, and the tone is full of joy, and the tone is full of life. And then, wives, you begin to speak to your husbands and the art of communication to your man. Because remember, marriage is good. God didn't create marriage to say, Jesus, watch this. I'm going to create this thing called marriage, and we're going to watch a man and a woman. They're just going to hate each other. This is going to be awesome. Like, that's not his plan. His plan is, I'm going to create something that is so beautiful, that is so intimate, that is so pure. And it's going to be a picture of you in the church. And when a wife knows that she must see to it that she respects her husband, when she understands the art of communication, how do you get into your man? How can I speak to my man and get through? Well, the art of your communication is us men. You know what we need out of everything? It's not sex. That's one of the top of the list. But it is honor. That's what a man needs, is honor. That is the greatest thing a man needs. Listen, every fight when you're in school started because you picked on someone's mama and you dishonored that young man, and we're fighting in the courtyard, man. Come on, meet me after school. Let's go. Because somebody got dishonored. And you talk about needs. Yes, sexual need of a man is high on the list. For women, it's after gardening. That's fine. We'll work on that this next couple weeks. We'll bring that level up for you just a little bit. But the truth is, what a man needs is to be honored. You want to speak to your man? You want to know the art of communication on what he needs most? It's for that man to know, I'm the greatest man on the planet for my wife. My wife is proud of me. When's the last time you told your man, I'm proud of you? Thank you for providing, and thank you for working. Thank you for protecting. Thank you for dragging us to church every week. Thank you for being my spiritual head. Thank you. Thank you for serving me. I'm proud to be your wife. Oh, you want to know what that does to your man? You know what that means to your man's honor? Honey, I think that you are faster than a speeding bullet, man. I think that you can leap over tall buildings in a single bound. You are my Superman. And there's not another man on this planet that can do what you do for me. Just think, if that was our communication, where would your marriage be today? If we come to a place today to change, to really lay it out there. Yeah, but my marriage isn't that good. Well, that's because of the words we spoke. So change. And I'm telling you, if you want to go from a 2 to a 5 in one day, listen, we'll get into the deep hurts and we'll get into the unforgiveness, and that's another issue. Get into it in this series. Well, if you want to change the atmosphere of your home immediately, you change the words and you change how we speak to one another. I am going to produce life in my marriage, and it comes as a product of my lips. I'm going to speak into my man's spirit. He is going to feel like he can walk on water. He's going to feel like he is the greatest man on this planet. And you're going to find out something. He's going to act towards you in a way that he wants to make you more proud, and he wants to do more for you because you've touched something. You've hit something. You've touched a button. And if you're single in this place, don't miss this. You learn how to communicate. If you're dating someone that just can't, they're not there, and they're just mean, and they're angry, and they're harsh, and they're short, I strongly suggest you find another person who knows how to speak life into you. Ladies, we're going to talk about your value in the next couple weeks. An excellent wife who can find for her worth, her value is far above jewels. If your man don't know your value, he speaks down to you, and you're not married yet, don't settle for that nonsense. But when you you come to a place to see, God, you did this. God, you made this. You created marriage in such a way that it is good, and we're the ones who screw it up. You look at Adam and Eve, man. They were created the very first in this amazing thing. Now, could you imagine having two sons and one killed the other? That didn't go so well. Did they blame marriage? You know, what were their thoughts on marriage? Man, this whole marriage thing, this is, why would you create marriage? He says, I actually made it good. You guys are the ones who screwed it up. So in Christ, when we do it his way, he wrote it all down for us. So when we do it his way, it can be amazing and beautiful and loving and caring and tender and kind. Well, you're man, and please hear this, man. I've learned and I'm learning. I should say I'm learning. Learned means I'm done learning. I'm never done learning in marriage. I'm learning to come home with details. I'm learning to remember what happened in the day. I'm learning to say, man, this was good, and this is why this was good, and I saw this person. And honestly, I have to stop and think, and there'll be moments in my house where I say, well, how's your day, and who did you see? And I'll give an answer, and then I'll come back 5 minutes later. Oh, by the way, I did see so. It takes a couple minutes to rewind, right, and click. But it's that second effort that comes back and say, you know, I did see, and this is what we said, and it was just amazing, and they're doing really good, and just we have amazing conversations at home, but I'm learning to remember the day and bring it home because my wife is actually interested in my day. Yeah, but honey, this is Sports Center in Pittsburgh just released two headaches and now they're growing and now you want to talk? What happens when you come to a place to begin and we're out of here? We're out of here in just a minute. But husbands, if you would grab the hand of your wife, come to a place to say, today it changes. Today's the day that it changes. I want to know you, and I want to know the art of this communication, and I want to speak in to you and your security. Oh, honey, I'm going to speak into you and honor you, and I'm going to speak into the man in you. I know you feel like a mouse, and that's my fault, but I'm gonna make you feel like Superman. You went from Mighty Mouse to Superman. There's a big difference. And you may feel like Mighty Mouse right now as a husband. Wives, make him feel like Superman, and you'll see a difference in your home by the end of the day. I'm not saying all fixed, but I can tell you this. The condition of your marriage is a direct result of the product of your lips. You change the product of your lips. You change the condition of your marriage. Father, we are amazed by you. As husbands and wives in this place, those in a dating relationship in this place, those who are single in this place, God, help us to get this. This is huge. This is huge. Let the condition of our marriage reflect life, peace, encouragement, hope, building one another, that we would speak hope to our marriage. We would speak life to our marriage. We would speak love to our wives and build their confidence, and we would speak honor to our man to build their spirit. Walk out of this place different. Jesus, we want to do it your way. Jesus, we want to do it your way. Jesus, please. Help us to get this. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, amen.